on, everybody? Welcome to Canucks Corner. I'm Andrew, Zach, Steve. How you guys doing?
Oh, I'm not doing too bad. I finally finished Game of Thrones for the first time. I know I'm a few years late, but
nice.
Never had the chance to get it. I was on Netflix, and I think I watched 80 hours of Game of Thrones in 2 weeks. So, I was at your place last night. We watched that the Steelers game. We kind of what we expected, but it is what it is. At least they made the Super Bowl or the playoffs. Sorry, but one thing on football. I don't know if anyone listens, but I don't know if you guys know who Joe Thomas is. He's an old pro left tackle. He used to play for the Browns. He tweeted after the Steelers lost, nice participation trophy for the playoffs or something like that, right? And then the Steelers fired back saying he's never even made the playoffs before. So I don't know. I don't think you chirp when you chirp someone for something they did that you never accomplished. But anyways, I know you were saying that you're getting back into Game of Thrones as well.
Yeah, just starting it now.
Yeah, for the second time, right? You already watched it.
Yeah.
Make
maybe
that clear.
The third, to be honest.
Not like me. I'm a little behind.
Zach, Steve's getting comfortable here. He's on the ball. He's just like, I know my space. I'm going first.
I'm just taking this shit now. No more back and forth.
Like we had said before this, I didn't even realize it was Monday today. So I'm a little bit behind the eight ball today. No, I'm doing good. It's been good. I don't know what else to say. It's been a whirlwind. It's nice to have hockey back again. Well, Canucks hockey anyway. I don't know. Things are going good. I'm just happy to be back and talking hockey again.
Yeah, you said it right there, Bram. Talking hockey. So for those who watched our last podcast or listened to our last podcast, that was just a one-off thing because we had no hockey. So at least we have some news to bring up today.
Yeah, episode 15 is a bit of a kind of a just a get back at it and have some fun.
Is it 15?
Shoot the shit kind of thing. That was 15. We're on episode 16, but we're just cruising.
I thought this was 14. You're killing it.
No. Yeah.
I'm behind. Where have I been? I think I've only done 14. I missed two episodes, so that's why it's my internal clock's going off wrong.
That makes sense.
It's science. I argue it.
That's right. Okay, boys, let's kick things off in the normal fashion like we did before the holiday break there, before PPDs nonstop. So, I mean, normally we start with a bit of fantasy talk and then we go into NHL news and wrap it up with everything Canucks. So Zach pulled the old three-player swap on Sunday to take down the not-so-much champ over here.
Well, last year's champ.
Last year's champ, reigning champ, I guess. Yeah. But man, it's honestly, boys, it's hard being a points leader and continuously losing.
Yeah, well, you're top three in points. I think you're second, actually. I think you're second. I really think you're behind
points.
Me. Yeah, you're behind
and,
me.
And my record is first. 6-7.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. I know that PPDs have kind of screwed a lot of other people, too. So, like, I know a lot of people have missed games. So maybe that's why that you're playing guys that actually have games and then people that aren't. I don't know. But it's been a messed up season for anyone that plays fantasy hockey. I feel sorry for you. It's bad. I was in two. Andrew runs this one, and I run a like whatever league type thing. And it was, everyone complaining about having guys off, blah blah blah. And it was just tough to navigate through your team.
Yeah, I'm looking at top players right now and top available players. Sorry. There's a few big names out there who just haven't really done much. And like reading the comments on them and stuff, they seem to be available in a lot of leagues. Tyler Seguin is one.
Yeah, that's a little personal for you, isn't it?
Yeah, I drafted and dropped him.
Yeah. Well, didn't you trade him last year when he actually lit it up to Gordo?
No, that was Pavelski, and I did it again.
Oh, Pavelski.
And he's doing great, yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah. McDavid got me less than a point last week, so I'll take that.
Yeah. Philip Grubauer, he's up there as well. What the hell's going on with him? He's having a rough season.
Yeah, well,
man,
I think it's pretty obvious. When you play from the Colorado Avalanche and then you go in front of the Seattle Kraken, I mean, that team has never even played before at all, right? It's not like you're playing on a team and two or three pieces are coming in. That's a brand new team. It doesn't happen like Vegas does. Like, Vegas got really lucky. Seattle's should be, that's the way it should be, in my opinion.
Man, I was trying to tell anybody who would listen that Grubauer is going to have an absolute shit year, and nobody listened. They're like, oh, Vezina nominee, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, do you look at the team that he's playing behind? Like, the guy's not a Vezina caliber goalie. He never has been. Like, he's a decent goalie.
He's above average goalie. If he plays on a good team, he can, I think he has the ability, maybe not this year, but I think he does have the ability to take a good team to the playoffs. Or through the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't even rank him in my top 10 starters in the league. Top 15. I'd say he's bottom 10 starters in the league.
Damn.
That's what I would say. I mean, I think Grubauer played behind a great team. He
couldn't
stay.
Do you think that because he's shitty this year?
No, I said that last year. Like, okay. I said that last year. I don't think he's that great of a goalie, but he was playing behind Colorado, who you know, if you make, I don't know, 17 saves on a night, you're probably going to get a win. So to me, wasn't a big deal.
Yeah, because they're going to score seven. You just have to land six, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, but to be fair, his numbers were decent last year. But
he is good.
I think it's propped up.
I think he was, he's, oh, sorry, I actually let Bron. Happy to have a say here. We've been talking back and forth. What's your opinion, buddy?
No. I mean, I agree. That's
yeah. We've actually went over and watched Seattle. We watched Grubauer's Memorial Cup game.
Oh yeah, we did.
Remember that? Right. Yeah, we played Windsor, I think. So
yeah.
I mean, I think he's a good goalie. I think if he plays on a top 10 team, you know, he could do some damage. I don't think he's the type of guy that can carry shitty teams. I mean, there's not very people or goalies that could do that, right? I think he will get better, and the next couple of years he will kind of fit into that top 15 role. I don't think he's a top 5 or top 7, but he might be able to fit between that 10 and 15.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see.
Another goalie for you boys, just because it's you guys. So this guy, see if you can guess who it is, Steve. This guy basically ran me to the championship last year. I mean, he was an absolute stud. He stood on his head. And I think at one point he was ranked in the top 10, if I'm not mistaken. And this year he's not even a 50-50 split. He's a backup goalie and he's ranked 533rd on the season. That's Semyon Varlamov.
Yeah.
That poor guy. Well,
that's crazy.
I mean, the start of his season was derailed because of injury, right? And then, what's the other? Sorokin just took over in New York. I mean, even though New York wasn't winning a lot of games, it wasn't Sorokin's fault. And I think he's got a ton of potential, too. I don't know. Go ahead, Steve.
Doesn't Varlamov have a hefty pay with him?
Yeah.
I could be wrong. I thought it was up. I thought they were paid for him too. But I don't think he's a, I don't think his, like, what Zach was kind of saying, like, I don't think it's not his fault. I just think Sorokin's playing that damn good. And as any team knows, you ride that hot goalie until he gets cold, right? Yeah. There's no point taking him out. And I think it's just kind of shitty luck, right? That's what happens when you're the pros. You got a guy nipping at your heels, right? Like, a good example, like in football, running backs, right? You always think like the top running backs, but there's a guy that's just as good as him. He just hasn't played yet, right? Goalies are kind of like that as well. A little bit different. They take a little bit more to develop and that type of thing. But you just ride with the hot goalie, right?
I think New York's playing it really well too, as far as like Varlamov. I just looked up his contract status because he said that. So he's carrying $5 million this year, $5 million next year, and then he's UFA again. But not terrible. And I think that what they did, they played it really smart with Sorokin in the wings, because you've got a Russian veteran mentoring a Russian rookie, a young up and coming goalie. And I think that gets overlooked a lot of the times. Like, you know, I mean, that's why I really like the Halak or even the Holtby with Demko, despite the fact that neither of those goalies are on the same level as Demko anymore. The fact that that you can mentor and guide a guy into a role, it's like how Luongo was doing with Schneider back in the day, right? Like, I do like that aspect. And I think, yeah, from Varlamov, it sucks that he's not doing anything this year, but I think that New York played it smart having him there to mentor Sorokin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good point, especially with goaltenders, having another Russian goaltender there, especially someone like Varlamov, be able to like speak the same language and communicate. I was thinking this in reverse. I was talking about this at work actually today about Canadian players going to the KHL, and you know, it's yes, obviously Canadian players go and play with KHL, but that's such a huge learning curve to go play and learn a different language. I mean, the refs are talking in Russian, you know, everywhere you go is Russian. I can see how big of a obstacle that could be, even at the pro level, not being able to fully understand what's going on, right? Like that, mm-hmm. This huge for these guys come over and kind of made myself be a little bit more awake in that situation.
It's one thing I was worried about actually with Pod Colson coming over to Vancouver this year is who's going to mentor him in Russian. You know,
I feel like a lot of the younger guys with technology and how big, you know, pop culture is over here have a little bit more of an understanding. But that being said, it all kind of depends, right?
Yeah.
And like you said, it all depends on the goalie too. If Varlamov is going to be a dick about it, you know, I mean, if he's helping there, helping him, you know, going over game film with him, it all depends how the chemistry is too, right? So I know Luongo and Schneider had the heated battle, so I don't know how much, or had the, I don't say heated, but didn't they have controversy a little bit?
I don't know. Do you remember that TSN?
We got pulled out, right? When they pulled Luongo out, right? And then they put Schneider in for that. Whatever, well, like, was it? I can't remember. One of the games.
Oh, that was the sweep against San Jose. That was,
yeah.
2013, I believe.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, when I think like Luongo should play, they put Schneider and kind of fucked the Luongo. And I mean, I think there was just some tension between the two guys. Sorry, but go ahead, I interrupted you there.
Oh no, I just, do you remember that TSN short that they did where they're wearing like the thing one and the thing two shirts, and then there's Luongo driving?
I saw that picture.
I don't know. I think Vancouver has been known as a goalie graveyard for a long time, and I think that played into a lot. I have a feeling that relationship was pretty solid between Schneider and Luongo, maybe with the coaching staff, a little bit of tension. I know there was a lot of tension with Luongo and Tort specifically at that Winter Classic game, which ended up being his last game he sort of suited up for because he didn't actually play. That was Lack's start. Yeah. But I don't know. Anyway, we got off track again, but the goalie talk is great.
Yeah, it's no doubt. I can talk about it all day, Bron. Just can we move on?
Yeah. I have one more player to mention who's on there who's just surprising. I don't know too much about him from last year, but I remember he brought Barker back. Barker was in last place, and Barker just like came storming back to a playoff spot. And that was Jeff Petrie. And today he sits in FA. He's a free agent. Yeah. No one's watching Montreal players.
He hasn't played much, right? And I thought he was injured as well. Is he not on IR?
I think he was.
I think he still is. Did he play?
Not anymore. Not anymore.
Not anymore. Okay.
Do you want to know how bad Montreal is keeping with this fantasy theme? Today I needed to pick up a goalie. I picked up that Karel Vejmelka rookie out of Arizona, knowing that was a guaranteed win. I picked up the rookie goalie for Arizona, knowing that was a guaranteed win because I needed a goalie to play today.
That's probably the worst transition of all time from going to Stanley Cup to dead last. Like, man. I don't think there's any. That just shows how messed up that whole division, North or Canadian division, wherever they did there. I can't remember wherever they divided into, but that was the North? Just a joke. The North, yeah.
I will say, though, while we're kind of on the topic of fantasy too, I picked up the deal of the century this last week, and you guys with all called it. Yeah. Especially Braun's like, oh, you won the sweepstakes.
I was trying so hard.
Look, I've sent 8 trade offers to him for Huberto over the year. I'd been trying all year. As soon as he publicly made Huberto available, I was like, I am not losing out on this. Like, yeah. I am going to, I've been trying to get Huberto all season.
He was, he was a good pickup, man.
He's now number two overall in our league.
I settled for Landy.
Don't talk.
David can't get a point.
Don't talk to me about that because I don't like it. But and we won't talk about it on the air. Gord knows my opinion, and he's fucking listening.
You know what? I don't think it was a low ball trade by any means.
It wasn't
a low ball
trade, but still, no one has any business trading Huberto. That's
I was trying to pry McDavid out of Steve there for weeks.
But what happened? The answer was no every single time, right? For good reason.
He sent me some good trades, but I thank God I didn't because that would turn out fucking terrible for me.
Yeah.
But on, he sent some. But yeah. We're going.
Let's move on to the top 10 players. Speaking of fucking Jonathan Huberto. Sorry, I'm swearing. I just dropped two F-bombs there. Sorry, guys. Virgin years.
All our listeners. Geriatric listeners who've never heard a swear word in their life. Fucking old timers.
Yeah, what did that guy say?
I don't know.
Trying to find the next F-bomb to say or something.
Funny you bring up just a quick little thing. I read something about these parents complaining about things in 1975 or 57, sorry, in 57. And one of the comments was about all these kids these days are going to be swearing out the butts because, you know, all the movies are saying hell and damn.
Well, they were right.
Yeah, they were right.
They were wrong. It obviously progressed pretty quickly, but it was just funny.
Yeah, that is good.
People don't even use damn as a swear word now.
So one through 10 in our league, which is probably similar across many leagues. Ovechkin, Huberto, Drysdale, Saros, McDavid, Fox, Matthews, Yossi, Kreider, and Timo Meier, which is kind of surprising.
Timo Meier just had 5 goals. I think he just slipped into the top 10. He scored 5 goals.
That's on the year.
Did he have a 5-goal night? Yeah, that's on the year.
He had 5-goal night tonight. I think he did have 40 points.
He did have a 5-goal night tonight.
Yeah, so I think that just skyrocketed him from 30th or 50th to 10th.
Yeah, he had a 30-point night. That's insane. Yeah. 29-50. Mm-hmm.
So I think that's
crazy.
Vasilevsky and Stamkos were the next two at 11, 12. And Victor Hedman, actually, three Lightning.
Yeah, I've got Hedman on my team, too.
Vassy.
All right, boys. So that's enough of fantasy. Next on to NHL news or league news or just any kind of hockey news. Because, Steve, you've got a great story.
I got something I want to talk about. So something I'm a little bit disappointed. I sent a screenshot to our group chat here, and it had basically a projected Team Canada for the Olympics as the NHL players are not going. Found out later it was kind of a hoax, but I was super pumped, and I just want to kind of put out this lineup for you guys and see what you guys think. It gave me a little bit of a chuckle, but for the starting first line would be Eric Staal with Kent Johnson and Mason McTavish. Both Kent Johnson and McTavish are rookies. I think Johnson's going to be a stud. Anyways, second line, we have Mike Richards centering Scotty Upshall and Joffrey Lupul. For those who know who those players are, they haven't been in the league for quite some years. And then 50 and 06, Danny Heatley, Connor Bedard, and then Jordan Tutu. And our fourth line would be Patrick Marleau, Chris Versteeg, and Daniel Winnick. So I don't know. I thought that would be a stacked Team Canada. Obviously, it's not that far out. On defense, they have Owen Power, Mark Mathot, and then Shane O'Brien with Willie Mitchell, and then Caden Goal with Kevin Bieksa. Is it Goal? I don't know. I can't pronounce it. The seventh team.
Actually, I just drafted him in my fantasy or my NHL 21.
Oh yeah, was he? Is he like a young kid? Obviously, then. Mm-hmm. And then
it was an expansion draft, but sorry.
Yeah. No, for sure. I did that. Did you do the Kraken, or you have the new year?
Created my own team.
Yeah, yeah. And then Dubnyk and Poggi with Fred Brathwaite there. So he obviously hasn't put the pads on for a few years, maybe about 20. But I don't know. I got a good chuckle of it. A little upset that wasn't true. I was hoping to see some of those guys play again, but it would have been pretty funny or exciting at least.
Oh, that would have been sweet.
Yeah, man.
It would have made me tune in. I'll tell you that much.
100%. I would have watched that just to see those guys skate again.
Oh, to be fair, I probably would have watched it as well.
Yeah.
And I was adamant about not watching it.
Yeah. You were, you're pretty adamant about it. I think we talked about that last. Zach would rather watch the women's, I think he was saying, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I didn't mean that
as a slight. I just
No. It's just like, a better competition.
It is better competition, especially when Canada-US play.
It's the best of the best of the women. Like, it's not, you know what I mean? That's what it should be about, is the best of the best. Not guys that wouldn't make it and then slip their way in because 15 other guys can't go or 20 other guys can't go, right? Yeah. That's what I like about it. It's the best of the best. And it has nothing to do between men or women at all. It's just, this will be more exciting hockey.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And I think like as what you mean kind of is like normally the men would be the main event.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Obviously.
I don't even think I'm going to watch them, to be honest.
Yeah.
I probably still won't.
I don't plan on it either.
So women's and curling will be my highlights of this year's Olympics.
Can't really watch
I'm curling. Pumped, girl. Boys, we're going to start a curling team. You Puck and Flamingo curlers. We'll have purple rocks.
Yeah, it's just going to be pink rocks out there. Whatever you call it. I did curling. We had to do it in PE a couple times.
I've never done it.
I just want to yell sweep. Like, I don't want to play. Yeah. I just want to yell
it's
sweep.
Hurry hard.
Dude.
Hurry
all right.
Hard. Yeah. Hurry hard.
Sweep. Sweep.
Hurry hard. Girl.
Stupid game.
I fucking love it, man. It's not a stupid game.
When you do it,
how dare you?
Don't even push it.
I would play. Yeah.
So like when you, I don't know what it's called, when you push off, like you don't actually push the rock. You push off with your foot and you just hold it, and then you just slowly like twist it with your wrist to how much you want to curl it and let go. And like my natural reaction is just shove it as fast as you can, right?
Yeah, and it fucking.
But you don't even push it at all. Oh yeah, guys are like trying to run after it, chasing the thing.
That'd be so good.
Falling over everywhere,
sweeping behind the rock.
Yeah. I don't know. I heard a lot of stuff going on with the Olympics. I heard all of the Olympians going over have to bring burner phones and not bring like their actual phones, and like weird things are going on. So it'll be interesting to kind of see what happens in the next little bit here.
This is not even like, well, this is actually roundabout ways Olympic news, but did you guys see the news release today out of Beijing that they blamed their first Omicron case on a Canadian? they said that their one and only Omicron case in Beijing is because of Canada. It's like, what? Really?
Yeah. Must have been watching South Park when they have the episode Blame Canada.
Yeah, exactly. Oh man, I just got a crack out of that when I saw that.
A little bit of revenge. I'll tell you.
Our prime minister's not gonna fight back. He'll just probably accept it. Apologize.
It's our fault.
Yeah, I sent him $10 million and I apologize.
Yeah, here you can have access to our 5G networks, no big deal.
There you go. Yeah. Last thing they want.
They already have that. All right. Where were we? Oh, we were talking about the Olympics and hockey news. Anything else, boys, for hockey news? There's something else.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We were talking about the Coyotes and the arena. So
I don't know exactly
what's happened with that, but. I know there's some votes going on. I don't want to say exactly because I'm not 100% sure, but for those that read it, there is problems trying to get everyone on board to build a new arena for Arizona. And I think they need a new Arizona or new arena for them to stay there. So Bettman was talking about another teams. A lot of people bring up Quebec. He shut that down really quick. And I don't think he wants another team in Canada. At least Quebec, I know for sure. So,
well, especially not this year.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, yeah, obviously, I would try putting anything in Canada right now. I'd try to pull teams out, to be honest.
Fuck yeah.
I don't know if that is has any effect on it. I don't think it has to do with it. I think it's more of a long-term solution. But that's from my understanding, is Bettman said no to Quebec. So probably going to be somewhere in the States, where your guess is as good as mine.
Yeah. Just to put an update on that, I think this latest news article I have is from 8 days ago. But they're waiting on a total of 7 votes. They've got 3 yeses, 2 noes, and 2 votes hadn't been submitted yet. It's assumed that those 2 unsubmitted votes are leaning towards no. And what they're saying is that they're basing that on the fact that they weren't able to pay their utility bills or their taxes on time, right? Remember, there was that issue that the franchise, the franchise said it was human error, but I mean, really, it was 2021. Like, how do you, I don't know. I don't miss paying bills, and
yeah,
I'm not an NHL franchise.
Like, so I'm sure they have one guy that just pays bills, and that's his job.
They've probably got a payroll staff.
Yeah,
that deals, and yeah, accounting.
More than one guy. Like,
yeah.
Making sure this shit gets done.
Yeah, no. So to me, that's crazy. And that definitely, we've talked about it multiple times now, but where there's smoke, there's fire. Like, there's so much smoke coming out of Arizona. Like, there's something's going on there for sure.
Yeah.
Something else.
Where they go, though, is, they won't be there long. I predict that. But
They might just swap with Edmonton.
I don't even know if they could bring people in that stands, man. Everything's right got now. Brand new arena. Imagine just going from everything to brand new arena.
Casino and all, yeah.
Yeah, it's actually really cool. I was out there with Gordo, actually. We drove out there and checked it out. Got a picture in front of Wayne Gretzky statue, all that. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, I got to watch a game there 2 years ago-ish now, too.
Yeah, ours have been probably 05, but we almost bought World Junior. I think when the World Juniors were there, it's 2018.
Yep.
We almost went and got a ticket there, but obviously it wasn't CAD. It was to whatever teams, and we didn't end up going. But it's cool.
Cool. Yeah, I don't think I've ever been in it. I've seen it from the outside, but
through as the fans looking at like McDavid do his press conference. It's kind of cool that way.
Steve, when you were there, did you have to go up that escalator of death? Or was it even operational while you were there?
I didn't go into the building. I was just on the outside.
Oh, man. If you go there, and I was talking to one of my buddies who's from Alberta, and he said that escalator is never working because they didn't, when they engineered it, they didn't engineer the length of it for how much weight is going to be on it. And so basically, because of how many people can cram onto this thing, it overloads the motors and they burn out all the time. Anyway, that's just hearsay. But it wasn't working when I was there either. I swear to God. You know the stairs in like Rogers Arena? It takes 5 minutes to climb up the arena. Like, it's a lot of stairs. It's nothing compared to Edmonton. Edmonton, I was like, it was like hiking up Kilimanjaro. It took 20 minutes to climb up the arena. And then you get up there. Oh man, it was crazy. I love that arena though. Like, we were dead center ice, lowest row in the top bowl. So like, they're the perfect seats, right? Like, where you actually have a good view of the game. And yeah, the seats were great. The arena was awesome. The seats are fucking narrow in Edmonton now, but yeah, that hike, that climb up there is something I'll never forget.
They're narrow. How many people do they seat in there, do you know?
I don't know, but they could probably trim it by about 2,000 to make it a little bit more enjoyable, and I'm not a big guy, so
they're probably around 19,000, I would say.
Edmonton
way more than that.
Way more than that seating. I don't know about.
Yeah, if it's as cramped as Zach's saying.
Let's see. It's only 18,500. Yeah. Oh, really? Wait. So, 18,500. But I'm telling you, like, it feels cramped when you're sitting in those seats.
Interesting.
Like, I think what Rogers Arena is only 17.2 or something. 17.4.
I thought it was 19.
No.
18,910 is Rogers Arena capacity. Let's see if that's concert. Hold on. Let's see if that's concert or if that is Canucks games.
That's got to be Canucks games.
That I'm
that's
not Canucks gonna games. Find.
Yeah, there's concerts going to be less than that.
Concert would be less, yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's no way it's more than 20.
Yeah, it's although, 18.
I guess if they took out the...
Because concerts can be more if it's in the round, because you can have floor seating.
Yeah,
I guess so. Or if it's a full, like a round stage with no...
Yeah, yeah. like your stadium, like a stage in the middle type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, it looks like it's 18,910, but Rogers doesn't feel as crammed to me. Like the seats are wider. I'm sure of it. And right, I know the other bit of league news we were going to talk about was Carey Price having to essentially restart his rehab, right?
Yeah.
I was gonna move on to them and him and the Canadians. Speaking of the Oilers,
yeah.
So yeah, we might as well talk about the two dumpster fires at this time.
No doubt. Yeah. How do you? I don't know. I mean, it's just one bad thing after another for Montreal fans, right? Like, I mean, at the beginning of the year, it's no Shea Weber, it's no Carey Price, it's no. I think Jeff Petrie was out at the beginning, or at least he went out fairly quickly this year. Like you guys were saying, like what a fall from grace going right to the Stanley Cup final last year. And then I think also Joel Edmondson was out as well. Montreal's been just ravaged by injuries. I mean, either way, I couldn't really see them doing a whole ton this year, despite them going to the finals last year. It was just kind of that Cinderella run, but this Price thing is brutal. Like to be out all year after surgery. And then now he's essentially, the word is that he's restarting his rehab at this point. He remains out indefinitely from a surgery that he had in the summer on July 23rd. So just more and more bad news for Montreal.
Yeah, so he must have re-injured it doing something. That's the only thing that could be possible, right?
That's my guess too.
Yeah. So that kind of raises the question: was Shea Weber and Carey Price just that important to the team? Like, is that? I mean, obviously, two key pieces. They're you know, best defenseman, their captain, and then obviously Carey Price. When self-explanatory. Losing two pieces like that, I mean, I can imagine where we'd be if Halak was our starting goalie and say JT Miller was out, right? We'd definitely be a different boat. So, but that's a huge fall. It's a huge fall.
You got to think those two players could probably equate to a 25-30 point dip on the season, realistically. Yeah. Like those two guys going out, like that's a huge loss. Like you said, like if we were relying on say Halak and Mikey DiPietro and then no JT Miller for most of this year, I mean, we're nowhere near where we are. We're nowhere near 500 at this point. I mean, no. we'd be right in the basement as well with them.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. And Weber eats a lot of their minutes on D, right? That's something that people don't really understand, especially if you never played hockey or don't understand it too much. But on defense, eating minutes is huge, right? You want your best guys out there covering their best guys as much as possible. So when you don't have a guy that you can trust out there for 25 to 30 minutes, depending on the game, it makes it a lot more difficult trying to get your matchups.
Yeah.
Cool. On that note, let's roll right into the Canucks. Finally.
Yeah.
Nice.
Finally, boys.
You get to talk about Canucks?
Yeah. Jeez, it's not as great news as I'd like to, but at least it's news. Yeah. And it ended off not so bad.
Could be worse.
Yeah. So the last time we spoke, I guess they were just finished all their PPDs. They had a win in Seattle on the first, 5-2. And then they rolled into this Death Valley of the South, which is so crazy to say, isn't it? Southern North America is Death Valley.
Is that what who said that?
Well, it just is. Like,
Death Valley is more Midwest, isn't it?
There's two Florida teams: Panthers and the Lightning, Hurricanes.
Are you talking about the actual Death Valley?
No, I'm talking about like.
Okay. Oh, just like a hockey. I was like, I'm pretty sure that's not in the coast.
I was like, I think that's Arizona or something. California?
Yeah, something like that. I'm like, you're on the other side there, buddy. Anyway. But no, yeah. As for like hockey teams to go through 100%, just even saying Florida's top team hurts me.
It's crazy. Two Florida teams.
Those were like the $10 tickets when they came into town, right? Yeah. $100 for any other team. And then, Florida came in $10.
I'm looking at Florida's record right now. This is obscene. They're 21-3 at home. That's obscene.
That's mad.
21-3-0. They have a plus 47 goal differential, a 750 points percentage. They're 26-7-5 on the year. Like, and I don't know if you guys watched any of them this week. Like, it's funny because the two teams that I'll watch right now are Vancouver and Florida. And obviously they played together against each other this week. Yeah, like Florida has just been so exciting to watch. Like, they just light it up. They scored, what, 16 goals in two games this week?
Their last two games.
Yeah, like, it's just, it's insane to watch. It doesn't look like it's two NHL teams going against each other.
Yeah, they beat us 5-2. Mm-hmm. Wasn't much to speak of that game. Like,
I turned it on late. I was late for the game. Back-to-back goals, 23 seconds apart. I turned the game off. It was 4-1 or whatever it was. Well, there we go. Like, literally watched the whole 2.5 minutes of that whole game.
And I mean, in fairness, like, I don't know, I didn't take too much from that. It was Vancouver's first game in 10 days, but
yeah,
like, I don't know. Like you said though, Bron, like that road trip there where they hit Florida, Tampa, and then Carolina, and then finally we got a win in Washington. Like, that's a rugged schedule, to especially coming back off a 10-day break to then hit the road to those four teams. So
Carolina, we went to Carolina, not Washington.
No, we
lost to Carolina. We beat Washington.
We beat what?
Yeah, we beat Washington.
Yeah,
oh, we got that. This all right? Yeah, you're right. My bad.
Oh, no, good. It's all good.
I lost. My bad.
No, it's all good. We had dropped the three in a row, but then we did finally pick it up in Washington, and now
the two 10 a.m. games.
Yeah, God, I hate those games. Shit. I hate those games.
I do 1 o'clock all day. I'm okay with that. But 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock in the morning.
Did you guys know that we have to play Florida again this week?
Yeah.
Oh.
At home.
On the 21st.
God.
At least it's over. Then we're done. Over and done with, man. 1 week, get it over, pull the band-aid off.
That's true.
The biggest thing is, like, you're talking about the home record they have, but 21-3 or something. I think you said that.
Yeah.
I'm almost like, I'm kind of thinking a little F1 mindset here and, you know, almost challenging the arena and see if they have some illegal boards or something going on in there for that to change around. Maybe the ice is a little bit higher. Who knows, right? A little bounce in one of the boards. There's got to be something involved there. Exactly,
call,
right?
Call the FIA. Get Michael Massey on the phone. Yeah.
They're expecting.
It's just, dude, it is simply the fact that the boys are glad to be home. Wouldn't you imagine if you had a team like that and you're living in Florida?
Yeah,
come on.
I mean,
that is amazing. They've had a heavily slanted schedule to be in home, though. They're going to have a road heavy second half because they've had 24 games at home and 14 games away.
Yeah.
So Florida might come back down to earth a little bit. Their away record is only 5-4-5 compared to 21-3. So they might come back to earth a little bit, but still, that's wild.
Okay. So there's no, sorry, Steve, we're gonna move on to the next Florida team. Not a lot of takeaways from Florida themselves. I didn't put too much stock in it. Like you said, Zach, it was first day back from a huge break. And then we took one day off on Wednesday and went to Tampa Bay. And we lost 4-2. It was much of the same story. A few quick goals by Tampa. Power play was atrocious. I think, now I don't have the stats in front of me, but for those three games, Florida, Tampa Bay, and Carolina, I think we were 0-10 on the power play with, like, not a lot of shots on net, like very little. You'd be shocked. Mm-hmm. And thankfully that turned around in Washington. But one note from Tampa Bay that I'm really excited to talk about is that that Mott goal. Do you guys see that between the legs?
That was beauty.
Yeah, I did see the highlight after. I didn't get to watch that game live. I didn't get to watch that full game.
Yeah.
Man, that goal was that made that game.
Yeah, I think was it Connor Bedard that tweeted a picture of him and then put like a puking face or whatever.
Oh really? I didn't see that. But it was disgusting. Sorry, guys.
It's all good.
I'm sick. Deal with this stuff.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. It was a, it was an incredible goal. It's nice to see guys like that do it. And it's, and the Boudreaux bump, you know, he said we need more out of our depth guys. And they came around, got some goals like that. Highmore scored. So that was good. I mean, they put the points on the board. Our top players didn't score those games.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who got the one in Horvat got the only goal in Carolina.
Yeah, I'm actually rewatching that highlight from Mott right now. That is beautiful.
It's such a nasty goal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a beauty goal.
Yeah. Yeah. Even in Florida, our two goals are from Jason Dickinson and Lamico. So while we were in Florida, we got goals from all our fourth liners, basically. So whatever Boudreaux said to him worked. And then we rolled on to, do you guys have any other takeaways from that game? No. Zach, you didn't watch it, Steve?
I didn't watch that one.
That's about it. There wasn't much on there, to be honest.
Yeah. Again, power play was atrocious. Penalty kill wasn't great. I think they scored a couple of power play goals themselves in Tampa. And then moving on to Carolina, I mean, what can we say? Sebastian Aho, Trocheck, Nikas, they all put the puck in the net. Demko made 33 saves, 4 goals against, 0.879. So here's the thing, right? When Demko's not a superhuman, we have a harder time winning games.
Yeah. But that's almost 40 shots. Like, he's at 37 shots. That's a lot of shots.
Yeah, right? 30.
Think about that's the third game in the road trip.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, yeah, he's not superhuman, but, you know, your defense needs to step in. And I feel that's something we missed with Chris Tanev. And it's something I didn't really realize when we had him, but his fearlessness to get in front of the puck, obviously that has a lot to do with his amount of time he can play. But we don't, you know, those guys that aren't scared to block or get in front or make plays to get in front of either the shooting lane or the puck itself.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. We're definitely missing that. And that's been a point all season, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of.
Well, that's why Demko's has been playing crazy, man. Like, if he, some of those saves are absolutely unbelievable. If he didn't make them, those games are different. Right. So it's all hypothetical. I don't think that was Demko's fault at all.
Do you want to know a crazy stat though about those three losses? Those three teams, their combined record is 74, 24, and 12. All right. So like talking about Death Valley, like that's a murderer's row of teams to play, right? And I mean, I think heading into that little road swing there, especially those three, even Washington's been having a hell of a year too. I think this was like a real test of the Canucks team. And even though it was we went 1-3 in this 4-game stretch, like, I mean, I don't think we were blown out in those games, which I think is a good sign for the team. And again, coming off a 10-day layoff, like, I don't know. I don't put too much stock in it. I like the fact that they bounced back on back-to-back days, coming back and winning against Washington after losing to Carolina. But I just added those up right now to put it into perspective, like, how good those three teams really are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's... Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, if we went 2-2, we've been celebrating, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, we went 1-3. I'm not upset at all with that. So, and like you say, these American teams get to keep playing. We had to take time off.
That's the biggest thing. Coming off such a long break with no games and then having to play that stretch of teams.
Yeah, that's the best, like, teams in the league. Yeah,
best teams
on the road. On the road, and then you have like a 10 a.m. game, 11 a.m. game, back right? Like that throws people off. It's a lot of adversity. Canucks have always had to deal with the worst schedule in the NHL. It's always been something we had to deal with, but it obviously came into play on that road trip there.
Yeah, yeah. And then finally, got the old W in Washington. But the one thing that stayed common in Washington in the past three games as well was that Canucks gave up the first goal. Alex Ovechkin scored a power play goal in the first period.
Right from his office again.
That's
incredible.
It's your own fault. It is. If you take penalties against Washington, Ovi's going to be clapping them. And that's not a risk I'm willing to take.
Yeah, that's Bruce, true.
They asked Bruce before the game, like, is there anything that you guys can do to slow down Ovechkin? And he said, I think I still have his number. I'll call him, ask him if he can't play.
All you do is you play a three-man triangle in front of the net, and you put one guy in Ovechkin. He just follows him and stick lifts him the whole power play, and then you just play a triangle in front of your goalie. Clear everything out, put two big dudes, Myers and I don't know who else you put there. We put two big guys, and then someone that's quick with the stick up front, and then, you just clear the puck and sit in front of your net.
Then Kuznetsov will score.
I'd rather have Kuznetsov shoot than Ovechkin. I'm sorry.
Backstrom will score. Wilson will score. It's a deadly power play.
Half the time Wilson's in the box, so.
Yeah, that's true.
That is true.
But the best news, boys, the best news, my greatest takeaway from the last 3 days, or sorry, last four games and the last week, Petey got a multi goal night.
Yeah,
finally
he did. He broke the, like, I don't really want to call it slump, curse.
Wow, streak. I'm not gonna say that yet, but
whatever you guys want to call it. Finally, to see him a little happy. So, it's been a rough season for PD.
Yeah,
but gotta remember he's still young. He's still young.
Well, I know he's still young, but that's like an abysmal drop off. That's like unheard of for like an absolute star player to turn into nothing.
Yeah, oh, I agree. You know? I'm not saying don't have any concern about it, but don't come down with the hammer too early. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, hey, I'll give him another year, I guess. But then what? Then his trade value goes down. Well, you'd have to, wouldn't you?
At a 0.93 points per game clip this year, he's at 0.5. So like, he's just better than half his usual production. Shooting percentage has gone down significantly as well, but his career is 16.2%, which sounds high for me. I mean, he is a sharpshooter, but this year he's only at 9.6. So I don't know.
His career is good.
Yeah, shooting percentage for his career is good. And again, heading into this year, he was almost at 0.93 points per game. This year he's at 0.5. He's got 19 points in 38 games played. So I don't know, but I mean, I think we've talked about PD enough. It's like,
yeah,
I don't know. I hope this is kind of something that'll break him out of it. I mean, that second goal for sure was just kind of one of those lucky ones that you kind of need every once in a while to break a curse, the backhand off of Samsonov's back. Yeah. So
I wouldn't necessarily call that lucky. I'd say he definitely planned to shoot it off the goalie's back. It was probably lucky for him to get his own rebound.
Lucky bounce. It's a lucky bounce. It came to stick. And I hate the word lucky. I really do, especially as a goaltender.
You create your own luck.
I made that save. Exactly. You create your own luck. You do.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was never a lucky save. I made that damn save. It wasn't luck. It's me. But anyways, I don't know. I consider that a favorable bounce that he did bury with, but it wasn't like his first goal.
It reminds me of, who was it? I can't remember which goalie, probably Marc-Andre Fleury, but someone like skated by him after they hit the post, said, you're lucky I hit the post there. And he's like, I'm not lucky, it's all I gave you.
Yeah. I've said that to people before too.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I just tell them that I just know they can't hit the net, so I like to stand for hunt.
Yeah, so yeah, I mean, hopefully we see a turnaround from PD. Obviously, we need it in Canucks Nation. Next up, we've got the Predators Tuesday in Nashville, which is one of those southern teams that's that is still competitive. And then we come home on Friday to play Florida, on Sunday to play St. Louis, and then we're back Monday to talk again.
A few games. A lot to talk about.
Another three hard games coming up.
Yeah.
Hopefully they at least happen.
Yeah, that's the big thing. I just wanted to play.
I think they will.
They should. But, I mean, Bonnyhand just shut down gyms and stuff again for another foreseeable future. So
figured that always happens, doesn't it? That's Julie said that today. Oh, gyms open tomorrow. I'm like, no, they won't.
No. Yeah, I know. But that's the thing is, like, I think the thing we're trying to talk about is if there's going to be games, and the fact that nothing's changing doesn't really change that fact, right?
So, well, now,
I know it's about the spread. I know it's about the spread, but
the Canucks organization made the decision last time just to cancel the game because they were hoping that they would get more than a 50% capacity, but that doesn't look like it's going to happen. So I don't think
they won't have 50. You think?
Yeah, they won't have the option anyway. I don't think the NHL will say, "Hey, look, like."
Man, it's a joke. Anyways, we're not going to talk about that. That's not that type.
Move them all to the States. Fuck it. Yeah. I don't care anymore. Just
play home games in Seattle. Fuck it.
Well, I mean, they did that in baseball, but I guess there's only one team.
They did in basketball, too. So,
yeah, again, one team.
But, I mean, whatever, right? I mean, there's a lot of teams that play in the same arena for basketball or football. And stuff like that, right? Maybe they can make it work. I don't know. I know there's some even smaller arenas in Portland or whatever, right? Find something close.
Vancouver could play in Seattle now. So
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, if there's conflict of schedules, that's the whole thing. But anyways, we should be playing 100%. And
There's no PV on the schedule yet. So
that can change fast.
Well,
cool. We got named to the All-Star team.
Dr. Demko.
Dr. Demko, we were going to talk about. Steve brought up talking about Mac Daddy's comments there too.
Yeah, Nathan MacKinnon was talking about how he doesn't believe, and I think I support him with him saying this, about having one representative from each team that the best players should play. So, you know, and I think the big thing they're talking about was Kadri. And I mean, he's got 38 points in 28 games or something. I don't know. It's good. He's a point and a half a game or something like that. And obviously getting snubbed over some other players. But
yeah,
I got snubbed. Yeah, exactly. Right.
The year he's had, he should be at that game.
Yeah, it's tough, right? I mean, you should take, even though, you know, if it's MacKinnon, Landeskog, Ratnan, and Makar, if it's four players, it's four players. I want to see the best players at the All-Star game. Once again, it's like we're talking about the Olympics, and you almost drain the potential of the game, right? You're not getting the best of the best. You're getting the best from each team.
Yeah, but honestly, I don't know about you guys. Do you even watch the All-Star game?
No.
Yeah. I used to, man. When it was like North America versus the world, that was something to watch. I don't know. It was
When I was a kid, it was cool because you know all your idols are on the ice at one time. But as an adult, it's not really like it's not competitive.
Well, it used to be competitive, and I think the one way they could make it competitive is home ice advantage. So the winner of why are you shaking your head? I mean, if you do like a West and East or like, you know what I mean? Then whoever wins.
They don't want it to be competitive. No one wants to get hurt.
But there's a difference. If they do it in baseball, right? I mean, you're not going
to. Baseball.
But here's the thing, man, is that you're not. I get that.
Spend most of your time sitting.
It doesn't matter. But I mean, if you're playing competitive, you can still get hit with a pitch or something. You know, there's a loss that you can do, right? And, I don't know. I think having it a little bit, I don't think it's something that people are going to dive in front of pucks, 100-mile slap shot for, because, you know, they're not going to sacrifice, but it gives it that little bit of edge. I don't know. I, I,
I just think it brings something to it to make it a little bit more watchable.
Hey, I'm with you. I mean, like I said, I don't watch it, but at the same time, I don't see it happening just because it's too risky. Players don't send their players, or teams don't want to send their players to the World Juniors for the same reason.
No, they want to send their players to the World Juniors because they want their players on their team. If their player is in their farm team, they're going to, or in the CHL, they're going to send it to the World Juniors. They want to get rid of a player that's on their roster that's playing for them to go to the World Juniors, which is understandable because you're going to lose time from that guy. But if he's not on the team, they're going to send him.
Yeah, that's fair.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely echo the comments that it should be, you know, it should just be the best players. Like, it's a showcase, right? Like, I'll watch. It's funny. The only ones that I'll watch, I mean, the Heart of Shot competition is always entertaining. Same with the ones where they're shooting out plates. Like, I like seeing the skills competitions, unless they do those stupid, like, dipsy-do through the air, like, trying to do all this stupid stuff. It's like, all right.
Wearing a cape, like.
Yeah, it's like, this is stupid. But I do like the actual skills comp. I think that's pretty entertaining. But, yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. I think it should be best on best. I mean, you guys have said it well enough. Like, the All-Star game is so watered down as it is. You might as well at least send the NHL's best talent every year and make that, I don't know, kind of All-Star appearance count. It's like, yeah, I was an All-Star this year.
The only thing I liked about the All-Star game is the mic'd up compilations that come on YouTube after.
Yeah.
Yeah. PKC,
it was, it was so good when Brett Hull was on the bench.
Man, I know that they would never do it. Like, the NHLPA would never do it. But if they had, like, an NHLX channel that you could subscribe to that had mics, like, throughout the arena and on all of the officials or something, I would pay whatever money they offered for a subscription fee to watch games that way. I would never go back.
No it's doubt. Hilarious. It could be, like, a Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 lobby out there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, exactly. Exactly. Absolute mayhem. Have a few mics on the bench, like, between the benches. Man, I would die to hear those players mic'd up.
Just the chirps are amazing.
Oh, that, I know.
Yeah, I could listen. I've listened to most of them, but like NHL mic'd up on YouTube, all the compilations. Like, I've burned through them a few times. It's just so funny.
They're so good. Like, and yeah. I mean, I bet you that's not even the best stuff, right? Like, cause that's just the stuff that's that just borderline enough. Yeah. That they can release it without ruining all of their sponsorships. Like, the good stuff, man. Like, like I said, I would pay whatever money they charged for a subscription to that.
Oh yeah. My favorite is, I think it's Claude Giroux who goes around just like cawing at people like a pigeon. You fucking pigeon.
That's great.
The one that always comes to my mind is someone's going back and he skates by and he yells at someone on the bench. He goes, "Go back to the AHL." He goes, "You're in the AHL longer than me, you dumbass."
Yeah.
That's so good. Oh yeah. Man. Yeah, just like
stuff like that, right?
I'm sure there'd be so many gems out there if they actually mic'd them up.
No doubt.
I want to say it was Bruins, but it wasn't Marchand. Anyways, he's in the bench, or he's in the box, and he's like telling the guy like to turn around so he can see his number. And the guy does it, and he's just like, "Who are you?"
I think that was Luch. I'm pretty sure that was Luch.
You're right.
I'm pretty sure it was Luch. Yeah.
Sounds like him.
Yeah. Oh, that's so great. Good. Yeah. There'd be so many of those gems. I mean, obviously, yeah, it'll never happen, but it would be awesome.
Be profitable for sure.
Oh yeah. I mean, even if you sit like front row right behind the bench, sometimes like you'll hear heinous, horrendous shit that is just hilarious. Like, I remember a couple of times, like I was sitting right beside the opposing bench, like right down the tunnel that they skate in. And man, like the stuff that you would hear, it's hilarious. Like, I don't know, I was probably 12 at the time, so I didn't understand half of it, but I was still keeled over laughing the whole time.
Oh yeah. And just how angry they get, and like the tone of voice, it's awesome.
It's great. I
love it. Nothing better than that.
No.
Cool, guys. Well, if that's all you got, that's all I got. Good episode. Nice to talk about hockey again, Canucks hockey. Oh, it
feels nice.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll have lots to talk about next week. These are some good few games coming up, and As we know, every game matters. I don't know if we have. Let's talk about that quickly before we wrap it up. What are your boys' expectations on the year? Like, what are you hoping to see from the Vancouver Canucks?
I wouldn't say expectations. My hopes is to hit that eighth spot in the playoffs. If we don't, I think finishing just outside playoff range isn't going to benefit us at all.
Sure.
So it's a tough road. I think that's what my management's going to
say. Is that a realistic goal, though? Or is that just what you'd like to see?
I mean,
because everyone, even Aquilini, wants to see that. But
yeah, I mean, it's obviously, I think there is potential to it. Is it probable? Maybe not. Is it possible? Yes. That's probably the best way to describe it from my point of view. It really all depends how we can stack up against some of these better teams, especially in Pacific, right? I think we were going to walk over a couple teams that we may have lost with Green, but it all depends on these bigger name teams and see if we can start leapfrogging some teams.
Yeah, Zach?
I mean, I think they can get that second or first wild card spot. Like I really do. I mean, I know that, you know, well, even, you know what, it might actually be easier to make it into the Pacific as the third seed than the wild card, because the Central is so much more stacked than the Pacific is. But I mean, right now Anaheim is at 41 games played. So we've got three games in hand. They've got 45 points. So we've got three games in hand and we're down by 8 points. So reasonable, like, if we were to win all three of those in hand, we're 1 point behind them, right? So, I mean, I don't know. Like, I think it's doable. Or sorry, we'd be 2 points behind them. But I think it's I think it's doable. And I think it's realistic at this point. I mean, again, like, despite the last few losses, what are the Canucks under Bruce? Like 8-3-1? 9-3-1?
9-3-1, yeah.
9-3-1. I mean, I know that that's probably not sustainable at that clip, but I think they can do it. Like, I really do. I think that 10-game layoff obviously set them back, plus going through three of the hardest teams in the league. But you know, before that, we were all gung-ho that they're making the playoffs, and you know, and I still think that they can. I think that they will. And if they don't, I don't know. It kind of sucks, because like you said, Steve, like if they just miss out, like the team won't really make any changes, because they'll be like, oh, we're just there. Like if we had Bruce all year, we would have been in, blah, 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 blah. I hate that. Like, it drives me crazy to just be on the cusp of the playoffs. So I think they'll make it this year. I think they could be, like we had talked about before, right when they hired Bruce. But if they are going to make the playoffs, they're going to have to be running pretty hot towards the end of the year. And I think they could upset somebody. You know, maybe they make it to the second round, upset a higher seed in the first. And, you know, you never know. All you have to do is make the dance. But I don't know. I'd be happy. Just make the playoffs. But if they do make it, they'll have to have been hot for a long time. And then anything is possible.
Mm-hmm. Cool. All right, boys. Demko. Well, yeah, good old Demko. All right, guys.
So well, what's your prognosis?
Oh, yeah, what's this? What's this you're pointing on us?
I just hate it. I ask the questions here.
right.
I think we're going to finish on the cusp of the playoffs. That's not where I'd want to see us finish. I think it's a hard road to get in, especially with our schedule, the way we travel, stuff like that. But at the end of the day, it is possible, so I'll never rule it out. You know, at the beginning of the season, I was in the playoffs 100%. So, so I won't rule out playoffs. Obviously, I'd love to see playoffs. But yeah, I'm with you. I don't think just missing the playoffs does anything for our team. Unfortunately, I think we dug ourselves a pretty deep hole at the start of the season, and that's where we might end up. But there's definitely no like dumping for the draft pick now. So it's either playoffs or just outside. And yeah, it's not like we need another draft pick anyway.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Fuck draft picks. Says, trade them all. Says,
yeah, okay.
Actually, I am the guy who says we need to recoup draft picks, but
we don't have a farm team, bro.
That's why I thought you were being sarcastic, because I'm like, no, oh yeah, that's serious. I was like, that's my spiel. Of course, fuck the draft picks.
We don't need a top 10 draft pick, Steve. We need a first round draft pick, that's for sure. But it doesn't need to be top 10. We've got enough of those. It's time to win. We're in win mode now.
Exactly. I'm working with you guys. But
finishing ninth and finishing 12th doesn't change anything besides the player we get in the draft.
That's true. That is true.
If we finish ninth just outside the playoffs, or we finish dead last, it changes absolutely nothing besides the fact that our player that we draft is shittier. It's the same team, same coach. Right? Yeah, it doesn't change what our team core is, because we finished 12th doesn't make our team worse.
Well, my point is that we don't need a
yeah, first over thing.
Like we just playing, obviously yeah. we'd take one, yeah. but then we'd be trading Petey, you know, or we'd be trading a high caliber player that was or even that first round draft pick.
Yeah, that's what you're saying.
Yeah, because we still need a piece in his prime who's going to take us all the way, maybe a couple.
Yeah, we have some other contracts we got to deal with. So.
Yeah. Anyways, thanks, guys. That was fun. For all you listeners out there, thanks for sticking out. Don't forget to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, Instagram. Hit that like and follow button. Subscribe on any podcast service, and you'll get the heads up every time we release an episode, usually on Thursdays. And on that note, you'll hear us then. We'll talk to you next week. Peace.
Yeah. Well, that was abrupt.
Yeah.
Just.
We should just be gone by the time he gets back.
Just, yeah, that'd be so funny. Just duck.
I'm going to leave that as the intro. Just.
Alrighty, boys.
I thought you were gonna take it from there, Bron.
No. Oh yeah. I thought we were teaming up here, boys. What? You like my sex friends?
I did. I like them.
Ow! 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 When is it my turn? Ow! Ow! Family Guy.
Okay. Okay. One second. Every time I say you take a big breath, it's like all I can hear is Steve breathing. Okay.
Do they have that new bridge now over the Massey Tunnel now?
Fuck no.
I thought it literally got done. I thought they finished it. Or was that a joke?
Oh, that's not.
The city posted something. I work right beside the Massey Tunnel, but I'm.
It must have been a joke. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, I want to drive because I have to go to fucking Richmond. Why the fuck want to go there?
No, that's a good point. But no, it's a government project. Of course, it's not done. It was only announced 6 years ago.